Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Craving some great 80s music? Play Virgin Radio 80s Plus. I want your love. On DAB digital radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, and at virginradio80splus.co.uk.
I got my mind set on you.
Even if we're just dancing in the dark.
Love Chris Evans.
Woo!
Love the 80s.
Virgin Radio
80s Plus.
Our next guest has held our hand in Japan, shared our spaghetti in Italy, and now he's taking us all for an Indian. His latest travel series, James May, Our Man in India, is out today on Prime Video. So let's all say hey, hey, the Virgin Radio way to James May.
Good morning, James.
Good morning. That was fabulous.
I liked our pre-on-air chat. That would have done, wouldn't it?
Yes, I think that was, I don't know, would you have broadcast that? It revealed a lot of, not sinister things, but actually nerdy things.
Yeah, but I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it.
We sort of met where we left off. He likes cars, by the way. He loves cars on the quiet, don't you?
If we were in a pub having this discussion, it would go on for probably 3 or 4 hours.
Not anymore, because I don't drink.
You don't have to drink to go to a pub. I say this as a man who owns one.
For 4 hours you do. That's the whole point. That was the thing in there. I'm happy to go to the pub with you, but I ain't staying for 4 hours.
Okay. 4 hours, yeah, you're right. You can't go to a
just lean in a bit, James, if you don't mind. Get a bit closer to that mic. Okay, so you had a high old time in India. Our Man in India, available on Prime. You had a paint-splattered daytime rave that you had to stop filming because the cameras were in peril. I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Spinning blades amidst mass plastic recycling.
Yes.
That was going on. The butt of a razor-sharp stand-up act.
Yes.
You survived that. She's very funny,
she is,
though, isn't she?
She is funny. She's
that line about the comb.
Yeah, I know. Cheap shot, I thought. I mean,
do you remember the line?
Yeah, it's about come and invade the country and see if you've got a comb.
Yes, so James is in the audience and his hair is his hair. She says, James, you need a comb. Why don't you just invade a country and take one from them? It's hilarious.
It's something she wouldn't let drop.
Yeah, it's very, very funny. What else did you get up to? I've written it all down here.
I ended up
in... Giant kite flying.
Yes.
In between monsoons and much, much more. You had a right life, didn't you?
Yeah, it was fantastic. India's one of those places that Westerners, well, British people especially, are slightly scared of because they think, oh, I go to India, oh, it's so complicated, it's so busy, it's so chaotic.
Which is all true.
But it is true, but it's a managed chaos. And actually, I didn't really have any problems. Now... Full disclosure, we had an excellent team of fixers and a driver.
Of course you didn't have any problems.
Yeah. And somebody...
They weren't scripted.
I don't have to do any of that stuff. I just stand up and speak. You know?
Yeah, so how relevant is that statement?
Well, it is still relevant because I don't think people should be scared of India. It's surprising, and bits of it are very busy, but bits of it are very empty as well. Yeah. So, you know, don't be put off. It's a great adventure.
I had a wonderful time in Mumbai. It was an extraordinary thing. It's probably the most sort of profound visitation of anywhere that I've experienced, for sure.
Mumbai, yeah. I found Mumbai, I've been there several times. I find that quite hard work. I find, in a weird way, Delhi more relaxing. But there's a great rivalry. So Aditi is from Mumbai, the comedian guy, but Vikramjit is from Delhi. And they were both explaining to me how it's a bit like, I don't know, Manchester and Liverpool or London and Birmingham. You know, if you have a fealty to one and you will defend it vigorously against the other.
Yeah, you're not quite sure why, but
no,
you just
I don't
do.
Know. But it was when I got, I just think, well, it's all India as far as I can tell.
Football, Vassos, this is the thing. You can't have two teams. People say you can't. I mean, people do have two teams. You know, my friend Michael, he's got Chelsea, West Ham. Rachel has Chesham and Liverpool. But apparently, if you're a real football fan, you just can't have two teams. Is that right?
You can sort of have some abroad teams, if you like, or you can have, Sunderland and Chesham because, you know, Sunderland's your championship team and Chesham's your nice little non-league
but
team.
But my friend who has West Ham Chelsea.
No, it's not on.
Not allowed.
Not allowed. Not having it.
Now you mention it because I don't have a football team, but actually I've never heard of anybody supporting two Premier League or, you know, big English club.
It happens a lot.
You think it happens a lot?
No, I know it happens a lot.
Does it?
Yeah. And West Ham seem to feature quite heavily.
Yes. Yeah,
sort of. People want to be cool saying, well, West Ham's my team, but I've got a season ticket at Chelsea. Why?
Yeah. I'm a Fulham season ticket holder and we're sort of a lot of people's second teams. Oh, I like Fulham.
This second
team
thing.
Come and support us then. Don't be our, you
Because
know.
You have Armand, first of all, in Japan and Italy, and now you've chosen India. Was there a pecking order or was it COVID or...?
Italy sort of came out of COVID in that it was very difficult to go to a lot of places. We had planned... We planned India before.
Right.
That became difficult. We did have a trip across the US, but that became difficult because of visas, the evacuation of Afghanistan and all sorts of other things got in the way. In the end, Italy was somewhere I wanted to go because I love it as a place.
Yeah.
But it was actually pretty much the only place we could go.
Yeah, and you can get there in a couple of hours.
Yes. And it's... But, I mean... To be honest, Italy is, in a sense, too easy because it's a European country.
Yeah,
It's not unfamiliar.
Yeah, yeah.
But Japan and India, they are slightly
well,
more
challenging. Well, the cultures are so different. That's the point, isn't it?
And they're very different from each other as
well. You know,
well.
We are all human beings, but the cultures are so, so different. So give us the headlines from India, from what you experienced this time around.
Well, you mentioned getting covered in paint. Yes, quite a bit of eating. The Indians, it turns out, are feeders.
Well, hang on a minute. Episode one, I've written this down. Episode one doesn't feature much food or drink. I'm thinking, do you get onto that?
Yes, we get onto that.
Because you mentioned eating, but you didn't really eat or drink.
We don't want to make... One of the problems with travel and tourism is that it very quickly descends into people going to other countries and just eating their food and believing that that is a great cultural experience. Now, it is an important part of it, certainly, but it's not everything. So we don't want it to... And I already make a cooking show, so we don't want to do another one. There is a bit of cooking in it. It's disastrous.
Well, you also make a travel show. It's called The Grand Tour, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you're right, actually. Yeah. I'm very confused as a human being. But, yes, they're feeders, the Indians. So, you know, you go for... The equivalent of just going to a high street cafe in Britain. So you go for a thali or something and you sit down and they come around, you've got your tray and you get all your little, usually vegetarian curries and you get your dal and so on. But they will come around and they will keep giving it to you until you sort of beat them off.
What about
or run
on the
away.
Drinks from? What is the big drink out there?
I suppose it's chai. Chai, which is... The best way of describing it is tea stew.
Right.
I was having this debate with an Indian bloke the other day. So,
how did that go? Did he win?
Well, he sort of did in that he had the moral high ground in a
yeah,
in
and
a
also
sense.
The knowledge. I would imagine.
And he had a great deal of knowledge. Yeah. But chai. So the Indians have got. There's danger of generalising here, and I accept that, and especially about a country as big and as varied as India. But the Indians do have quite a sweet tooth.
Right.
If you've ever had any Indian confections or those little cakes they
no,
make.
No, they are sweeter than sugar.
Yeah, yeah, they just blow your head off with sweetness. So chai, you boil the whole thing up together, as far as I understand. So the tea, the water, the milk, some spices, some sugar, sort of anything you fancy throwing in, really. It's a bit like making soup. It is like a tea soup.
Talking of throwing, we talk about the paint festival. It's not so much you get paint thrown at each other, it's paint powder.
Yes.
So it's a bit... That confused me a little bit.
I mean, it all goes back... It goes back to sort of Hindu mythology and about people... painting each other's faces. That's where it stems from. I think the powder paint is the easiest way to do the colourful thing, but also it washes away.
Yeah.
Because that's the bit... Because when I got up in the morning, I thought, so this place is either going to be burnt to the ground by all the bonfires, and it's all going to be purple, red and green because of all this powder paint that's been thrown around. Why isn't it permanently that colour, as this happens every year? But it obviously rinses
water
away.
Water-based, isn't it? And but the powder paint's the one we had at school, isn't it?
Yeah,
from
exactly.
The tins.
It's that
you throw.
But it doesn't come out of your hair and your eyebrows. It washes off of buildings, but not off of...
By the way, it was a great look.
Yeah, well, actually, to be honest, I didn't mind it. I did refer to myself as My Little Pony, which is sort of what I look like with a bit of purple and a bit of yellow in my hair.
A unicorn
hair,
going on.
Yeah, but after a while I thought, well, you know, if this is permanent, it could be worse.
I love it when you break the fourth wall in the show, which you do quite a few times.
The crew are very annoying.
The crew are annoying and funny and professional, and you've got a good vibe going on. I particularly liked it when you were doing a couple of pieces to camera, and people were clearly waiting to throw more paint powder on you. You went, you just stopped what you were saying. You went, oh, go on, just do it.
Well, see, that was very difficult. So in the square,
yes,
in the town, the party starts. I mean, it starts the night before with the bonfires, but it's going on and they've already got the paint going. So we're hiding just behind the scenes where the big disco speakers are, knowing that you'll understand this, that you've only got one chance to do that piece to camera, because as soon as I go out there, I'm going to get covered in paint.
Yeah.
And so is the camera. Yeah. So is the cameraman. So is the sound man's boom, everything. So I sort of got this. I had to remember the story from Hinduism, got that straight in my head.
Thank you.
This is what I want to say. So everybody was ready. I said, right, is everybody ready? This is our chance. If we get it wrong, this whole scene is scrubbed because I can't go out there with paint already on me.
Yeah.
So I go out and I say it, and I thought, this is working. Massive handful of yellow powder paint hits me right in the eyeball, which was thrown by the visiting Amazon executive.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. But I just about managed to get through it. And as you say, eventually, because I've already got someone, I say, you know, I've said as much as I'm going to be able to say here. Off you go. Yeah. And within a minute, the camera was covered in paint.
I loved
anyway,
equally, so for a similar reason, I love the amusingly exploding bonfire as well.
Another terrifying.
Really terrifying.
Yeah.
So they have these bonfires and they set their pyres, their beacons, and they're lit sequentially as the festival, the night festival goes on, the day turns to night, and everything else goes on. But then they put explosives in the bonfires,
exactly,
which explode spontaneously and quite... Quite a high risk level, I would imagine.
Enormous. Well, they did say to me, I knew what they did. They said, you know, Mr. James, there are firecrackers.
Mr. John.
Or Mr. John, as it became later. But I knew that. But I thought, bangers like we have on bonfire night. You know, so they sort of go, fut. They're not. They're these strings of proper firecrackers, and they send blazing embers. I mean, quite a few of them hit me. Some of them hit the.
I was jumping back from
the
telly,
camera.
Mate.
Yeah, but what did it? But all those bonfires you would have probably seen on my little bike ride. Some of them are in the middle of sort of roundabouts. But the one I was standing next to when I was talking about it is sort of nestling between some quite tall buildings, and I'm just thinking the whole place is going to burn to the ground. But it doesn't. Somehow manage it.
And it's festival city, isn't it, India? There's a lot of them. Sorry, forgive me, was the paint festival and the fire festival, were they linked or not?
Yes, it's, well, the paint festival is Holi and the fire festival is the evening before, but it's leading up to the big sort of disco rave thing.
What's great about the disco rave was it was a daytime rave. It seemed pretty alcohol-less, in as much as you think, oh, well, they're completely off their heads. No, because if you were off your head, you probably wouldn't do that. You probably think you're doing that and you probably wouldn't be doing that. But really, because when you go to when you watch cricket in India, or when there's a big Indian or Pakistan contingent at a game, most of whom don't drink, they are the best crowd.
Yeah.
Because they're present, if you like.
Yes. No, you're dead right. There was, as far as I could make out, I mean, there were some foreigners there drinking, but on the whole, the locals don't drink at that festival.
They were getting high on their own supply.
They get, yes, but they also, actually, some of them do get a bit high on the...
another supply.
Yes. Thank you.
Wow! I didn't know that
but,
bit!
Yeah, but it's... I mean, can I admit that we tried a bit? I didn't do it on camera because, you know...
Do you want? You're James May, man.
But it's like very mild, medium mild weed.
Why wouldn't you keep... Did you film it? See, that would have been interesting, wouldn't it?
I thought so, yes.
Oh, I see.
But I don't know, because I've not done their version. I haven't done anything like that before. What am I talking about? But you're dead right. They're getting off on the whole on a sort of communal euphoria and
existence,
and it's lovely. It's dopamine, exactly.
It's great, isn't it?
And it's all perfectly safe and lovely. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's more of it. There's more of it inside because you're producing your own gear, as it were.
Exactly.
No, I haven't seen episode 2. Are there three?
There are three.
Okay, so where do we go next?
Well, from the beginning, we then end up, we go, essentially, it's coast to coast. So we start in Mumbai, we go off through Rajasthan, and we do the lake and the Holi, and then we go across, we go to Varanasi, we go and see the Taj Mahal, which I'd never seen before, even though I've been to India several times. Then we go up into the hills, and we go to the tea plantations. We go to Kolkata, which is the old colonial capital. And then we end up down in the Sundarbans, which is tiger country and swampland and beautiful little villages. And it's the India that Gandhi talked about, where he said the soul of India is, which he said was in its villages. And that's amazing and absolutely gorgeous and very quiet. The thing about India, it is the soundscape of India is car horns and rickshaw horns, which is not a rudeness because it's a different driving culture. It's a language, but it's also a politeness, weirdly, whereas in Britain, blowing the horn is rude, basically.
It's more about you than what's going on.
Exactly, whereas in a place like India, it's a courtesy, actually, because it's a warning that you're there. But there are no cars down there because the villages are linked by effectively what we would call a cycle track, a path. And you can ride. I did ride a bicycle through it, and you can walk through it, and it's very, very idyllic and beautifully coloured, and the evening light and the morning light are fantastic. And it's also, until recently, very dangerous because people got eaten by tigers quite regularly.
Now, I once had a go at what you did for a living. I don't know if you know, if you're aware of that. I had a little go at what you used to do.
Car show. That was a bit subtle.
Yeah, it was like being a competition winner. You may have heard about it or not, but I had a go, and it was nowhere near as easy as I thought it was going to be. It's quite difficult. It's clearly what you did for a living. It's running through your veins. Alan Wicker, of course, has done these kind of shows before. Michael Palin has done the kind of shows you're doing
before. Yeah, I'm very aware of this.
Yes. Exactly. So tell me, because you are now in the same situation that I was in, where you were concerned. How did you feel about that? People have seen the Taj Mahal before. They've done India before. How do you bring your... Do you know what I mean? How do you bring your sort of flavour to it?
I think the...
You crush your legs for the first time.
To be honest, it's not quite as difficult as the job you have, if you don't mind me saying. You took on a bit of a poisoned one with...
Yeah, I just thought I was doing the next lot of favour.
Yes.
That was always my plan.
Yes. I can see that. Yes, I can see that.
It was really good, wasn't it?
It was good. Yeah, it was excellent. I am aware of the spectre of Palin and so on hanging over me.
Yeah.
Because they're excellent.
Do you think Palin Wicker was amazing, wasn't it?
Wicker. Yeah, fantastic. But that's quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
And the nature of TV has changed. And what we do, and it's slightly gratuitous in a way, is that we dismantle the format. We did the same thing with the cooking show. We sort of exposed the pale underbelly of it, which is why we have we're very careful with it, but the fourth wall thing with the crew. Yeah. I've been working with those people for 15 years. Everything I've done outside of the car show has been with that hardcore of director, cameras, sound and so on. So we sort of understand each other. There's a bit of needle going on, but it's not.
That's quite Keith Floyd-y, that this relationship.
A little bit, yes. Nothing I've done isn't original, Chris.
No, by the way, none of us. No. Apparently, there've been other humans as well.
There have.
There's
been other radio
three.
Stations.
It's crazy, eh?
Yeah. So yes, we sort of dismantle it slightly, and we try not to put any pretense on it. It's very easy to go to. Well, any country, but let's say India, since we're talking about it, to go there and say, "Oh, look at this! This is wonderful. This is so mystical. This is so spiritual. This is so cultural." And it's sort of phony if you're not careful, because it's tourism, and tourism is a bit like tradition.
And also, it's so easy to access nowadays. You can do it.
Yeah.
Before, when Alan Wicker did it, just him getting on different planes was like, oh, we've never been on a plane like that, regardless of where he was going.
Yeah.
It was literally a voyage of discovery via your telly. And then Michael Palin was a bit more of that, but now a lot of us can go and do that, very fortunately. So you have to do something else, I suppose.
A lot of us can go and do that, and virtually all of us can go and do it and film it as well, because everybody can film everything. So maybe TV will eat itself and it is effectively pointing its own camera at its own monitor.
That's
and
not
it will
true,
disappear.
Though, is it? Because guitars have been available for ages, but we're not all Paul McCartney. So that's not going
to
happen.
No, but you have to put quite a lot of work into learning to play a musical instrument.
Yeah, but to do telly that anybody actually wants to watch, you've got to be quite good at it as well.
Well, let's hope so.
Well, believe me, I've experienced both ends of that spectrum, and I can tell you firsthand that is the case.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's very encouraging. I was beginning to feel that I was being forced into retirement by age and circumstance.
How is it not having the other two Herberts either side of you in a similar situation to which you've experienced before?
But when I'm away filming?
Yeah.
Well,
what do you miss and what do you like?
What do I miss? Nothing. No. Well, I mean, it's... It's an interesting dynamic with the three of us. Three is a crowd in TV as in life.
But there's always a deciding vote, isn't there?
There's always a deciding vote, and it's not really a democracy.
Anyway.
Anyway. And the key, I think, to a three-header thing like Top Gear and then the Grand Tour is you have to fundamentally, you not dislike each other, but sort of slightly distrust each other, so that it's a little bit competitive.
Yeah,
that's what makes the chemistry work.
Pear-shaped if you're not careful.
It's a very, very delicate thing. Yes, and it has to be treated very carefully. Now, when I'm on my own, great, because they're not going to interrupt, and I can talk for ages. There's an outtake that I'm going to put on social media where we go to visit Sheikh Rehman, the painter of the Hollywood posters. Yeah, Bollywood.
You have a go, don't
posters,
you?
Posters, yeah. But he's... I do the whole piece to camera, but I'm standing in the wrong place because he's actually round the corner. But the director, Tom, he just lets me
They've
do it.
They've left that in the show. It's in the show.
I thought we'd taken that
out. No, it was in my show.
Yes, it is still in it. Sorry, I'm getting confused between
They've
my
left the outtake in the show.
Yeah.
Which is great.
So he lets me do all
By
that.
By the way, I thought I'd got an off-air,
a review copy.
Yeah, a review copy. I thought, no, this is it.
It does look a bit like that in places.
Yeah, it's cool, though. I like it.
Well, did you watch it and think this will be quite good when they finish editing
it? No, I thought, I hope they leave it like this. And they have. Hurrah!
Yeah, so that's sort of what we do. We do leave bits of that in because, if you go back, let's go back to when I was a teenager, which is a very long time ago now, but there was the magic of TV and there was the suspension of disbelief and you bought into it and you went along with the magic. But now everybody knows because everybody's doing it. They know basically how TV is made. And it is insulting to the viewers to pretend the crew isn't there or that it's not a bit of a joint effort. What we're actually doing is inviting you to come along on a bit of a lark, a bit of a romp. And it's me. I'm doing most of the talking. But it's obviously not just me. There's a whole group of us and it needs all of us to work. So we're simply acknowledging that. And Tom likes to be on the television.
He does, doesn't
even,
he?
Even though he says he
There's
doesn't.
There's no reluctance there.
No.
He needs to work on his reluctance.
Yeah, he does need to make his reluctance a bit more authentic. And Dan on sound. Yeah. He's always ready with an opinion.
By the way, all sidekicks claim they don't want the limelight. They can't wait. They can't wait. If you could only take Hammond or the tall bloke, who would you take?
On a travel show?
Yeah.
That's a good question. That's an original question.
By the way, you don't have to answer it.
Yeah, no, I'm going to, though. But I'm going to think about it.
By the way, we're talking about James May, Our Man in India, out today on Prime Video. Thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it, Vassos.
Yeah, I did. You know what? It made me feel... I've never been to India. So, A, it made me want to go to India. But it made me feel like I could sort of touch it and feel it and smell it. Maybe that's that thing you do, sort of breaking down the fourth wall. It made me feel there. Where would you suggest somebody who's never been to India goes first?
Oh, that's a good question. Now, I haven't been to all of it. I've been to India quite a few times, but there are big bits of the south that I've never been to, and I'm constantly getting criticism for that, saying, oh, you've been to the north of India, you haven't been to the proper bit, which is... But I would say I would start off... Ooh, I don't know. See, if you went straight to Mumbai, it's pretty modern and cosmopolitan and very busy. I think probably either Chennai or Udaipur.
All right, Mira's outside. Just give Mira a shout. She by no means has to come on the air, but just give us Mira's top three of where she would recommend people go to India when she's ready. All right, if you could only take Hammond with you on one of these trips or Clarkson, who would you take?
Okay, I gave this a bit of thought during Gary Newman. thank you. And I mean, my honest answer is I'd still rather go by myself. That's the joy of it. But
that wasn't the question.
I know it wasn't. I actually think Hammond. I think Clarkson would be good because we're more different than Hammond and I are. But I think it would just be too painful. I like because Hammond. the thing I would like about taking Hammond is not a very good traveller.
Right.
He's
which is bizarre considering what he does for
exactly. A living. But maybe that's why he's good at it. But he doesn't like being in trouble. He just clams up slightly if he's in a strange place. He's very much a Ross on Y person, Hammond.
Yeah.
He likes his his space and they likes familiarity.
People who know you three very well, I know you a bit, don't I?
Mm.
But people who know you three very well say that he's very much an AC or a DC to Clarkson's AC, in as much as when he's plugged into Clarkson, something happens to him. And then he's able to travel the world and he's able to not be scared and he's able to get a bit of this Dutch courage. Have you witnessed that? Do you get what I mean?
Yes, I think, I mean, I don't want to overanalyze Hammond's personality, but he's, I mean, he's a great performer. That's the thing. So you're right, he can plug himself into not just Clarkson and me or, you know, whoever he's with. But I don't think he would naturally go on a, say, a trip around India. So I think taking him on one would be...
Interesting.
Interesting, yeah.
Because you love travelling, don't you?
I do like it, and I'm quite relaxed about it. And I think he'd be a good foil. But overall, I think it's something I should continue to do by myself.
Please, please, Amazon Prime.
Yes, if just in case Amazon are listening and they think, oh, we hadn't thought
of
that.
Well, let's hope they are listening. That'd be terrible if they were.
Put Hammond in it.
They've thrown paint powder in your face on location.
You wouldn't like that bit.
I liked it all. Your latest toy is this car that you've bought. Was it an online auction?
Yes.
Okay. And it's a 1989. It would have been a future classic. It now is a classic because cars that are from the 80s and 90s. The JDM cars are great, aren't they?
Yes.
The Japanese domestic market
cars. Yeah,
they're massive now. Mega. The sort of postmodern Fords are big now as well.
Yes.
Demanding great sums of money. You've gone for this little Mini. Tell us why it's special.
It's special because it was one of the prototypes of the relaunched Mini Cooper in 1990 or 91, I can't quite remember. So they made three for photographing for brochures and things and to show to journalists and the like. And I think one of them's definitely gone. I'm not sure where the other one is. I've got the green one. It's only done 1,000 miles. I was very... because I like Minis,
yes,
even though they're terrible, but I've had a few before in my past, so there's a little bit of sentimentality involved. And I saw it and I thought, That's a very rare thing.
So you have a go at it.
Yeah.
Did you have a strategy for the bidding?
Yeah, well, I always do, but I usually ignore it.
Yeah.
Because you get
auction
fever. Yeah, you do. That's how they work.
Of course
it is. That's why auction houses are very wealthy.
Yeah, and they have grinders as well. Do you know about the grinders?
Yeah. Well, I do.
The auction grinders.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, but is it true?
Yeah, no, it is true. So they grind at either end. So they grind the buyer, but they also grind the seller. Do you know about that?
Yeah, well, I've done selling and they've been on the phone and said, well, if you just lowered your reserve a bit. And
yeah.
But anyway, it wasn't cheap for a Mini. I still think that Minis should cost 750 quid.
They don't anymore.
Yeah, no. But it wasn't quite as much as I thought it was going to be. So I thought, well, I'll have it. But now I've got this perfectly mint 1989 Mini that actually smells of 1989.
Yeah.
It's disarming.
That's
it's unnerving.
That's the
and
thing.
I sort of think, well, I can drive it, but I can't.
Yeah, I think
I can't
you
thrash about in it.
I think because you'll never put that many miles in it anyway, because you don't have time.
Well, no, and also you can't stand being in a Mini for that long anyway. So I mean,
it's a Mini that's still Mini, not a maxi Mini.
Oh no, it is a real Mini.
Yeah,
it's a
that's
small
the thing, isn't
it's
it?
It's amazing how small those
One
old small
last.
Cars are. Things like the Mini Cinquecento, they're tiny.
So listen, our friends at cinch.co.uk, they put together the 2023 most searched cars for new used cars on their website last year on cinch.co.uk. Number 5, the BMW 1 Series. Number 4, the Mercedes A-Class. Dull as ditchwater, but clearly does the trick. 3, the Ford Focus. 2, the Volkswagen Golf, the mighty Volkswagen Golf. And at number 1, the Ford Fiesta. First made in 76, discontinued as of last year.
Yes.
Why do you think they would do that, considering it's always been number 1, number 2? I don't think it's ever been out of the top 5 top-selling cars in the UK and continues to be number 1 even last year. Why might they do that, do you think?
Why would they discontinue it?
Yeah.
Well,
Why now? I mean, why not? But how come now? Why not like in 2003 or 2005? Or
I suspect it got to the point now. You're asking me essentially a business question here, and nobody is worse at business than I am. But I suspect it simply wasn't making any money because of the way the trends in car buying have gone over the last few years to, you know, crossovers and mini SUVs and big SUVs.
Maybe.
So a car like the Fiesta, which had, was it 7 generations?
I think so. They're all usually 7, 8, 9, the Golfs and the
Yeah, so, I mean, it was a remarkable... I mean, it's not the same car as it was at the beginning. Obviously, it's completely different, but it was the same idea and it sort of filled the same niche. But the niches moved, you know, the what do you call them, the market segments, they moved around. So I suspect the people who bought a Fiesta, it was a bestseller, as you say, they quite readily went on to something else. And
did you ever have one?
But, no, I had mates who had had Fiestas.
I still fancy an XR2i.
Yeah.
But so again, they've gone through the roof.
If you can find a good one, yeah. Anything like that has become a... it's not even a collectible. I think they've become sort of artworks. It's a little bit like buying sculptures.
And they're still so reliable.
Yeah.
And they drive so well. Point and shoot. It's one of the point and shoot cars.
I had... Or we can get very boring now.
Yeah, let's get very boring. Come on.
Okay, I went to... I've got a friend...
Friday.
I've got a friend in France. He's got a house in France. And I go and stay...
I've got a friend in France. He's got a house in France.
Yes, it's like that. He doesn't know how many friends he has until he opens up his house in France. But... he's got, on the premises, he's got a modernish car, but he's got a Peugeot, a late 80s Peugeot 309. So it's a single carburetor four-cylinder, and it's very tatty. And he always says to me, if you want to, you know, we're going out tonight to a restaurant, because he lives in the middle of nowhere. He says, if you want to drive the Peugeot, you can. And I say, yes, I want to drive the Peugeot. Because the thing that's great about it, it's an old car, and they're terrible, and it's baggy, and, you know, it's made out of biscuit tin materials, but... it has boring alert, a single carburetor, and perfect crisp throttle response, makes such a difference.
We had it yesterday. We talked about coffee quite a lot, and we talked about grinding your own beans. Don't know if you do that. Do you do that?
No, I don't drink coffee.
Okay, so I've got. I don't know. I like coffee more than I ever thought I would. And we talk about grinding your own beans. I don't have a coffee grinder, but people keep sending me these beans. So I've got to keep... I spend most of my life going to places that grind beans, should just buy a grinder. And then somebody said, oh, you should get a Peugeot grinder. Because Peugeot started off making coffee grinding machines.
And pepper mills.
Before they made cars.
Yeah, and they made bicycles as well. And I think they made sewing machines, or am I thinking of something? A lot of those... It's quite interesting when you look at the history of car companies, how many of them started off with domestic gadgets or machines and bicycles.
Yeah, or tractors.
Tractors, push chairs, pram, you know, all this sort of thing.
So the three big tractor makers were David Brown, for Aston Martin DB. So the DB comes from David Brown. He made tractors first, is that right?
Yes, and gearboxes.
And gearboxes. Yes. And then Lamborghini.
Yes.
And Porsche.
Yes.
Okay, they were the three big tractor makers, and a lot of people don't remember them for that, but that's what they did.
And now, going back to what you were saying about those cars of the 80s and so on being very collectible, early tractors amongst the tractor-loving
community. Especially in golf livery.
Yeah, they're just worth a fortune.
Did they... I mean, clearly, the sort of turquoise and orange tractors, the Porsche tractors, they couldn't have been originally... painted in golf livery because the golf company hadn't sponsored Le Mans winning cars.
No,
that was, so they've been repainted.
Yes,
I
think they were probably grey.
I like that, originally. Don't you?
Yeah.
I like the grey as well. The old... Now we are getting nerdy.
I actually own a tractor.
Do you?
Yes, it came with my house. It's not a grey Fergie, it's the one after the 135.
Does it have an offset 135. Seat? So you can... Because you know why they have offset seats?
Yeah, so you can see around the side and...
For the ploughing.
Yeah.
To furrow your... plough a straight furrow.
Yes. No, mine doesn't have an offset seat and it does have a later roll bar fitted. And I don't really... I have no use for it, but it's quite a nice thing to
sort of...
Apparently
you're running way over because you're going to be on This Morning.
Oh, yes.
We're having such a nice chat.
Yeah,
we're way over time.
Do I have to go to This Morning, or can you sit here and talk about
tractors?
No,
you've got to go.
We've got
2 minutes. Two minutes. Is that right with everyone? 2 minutes.
That's not a good
look.
Just,
but it doesn't matter.
Stare coming through the window.
We'll take 2 minutes. Jeez.
Okay. Yes.
You've just ordered an electric car. Now, I have a Skoda Enyaq EV, a VRS, and it is flipping nominal.
Mm.
I've also got into Teslas. I don't have a Tesla. I borrowed a couple of Teslas. I had a look at buying a Tesla, the old sports car, the first one, the Rocket, what's it called?
The Roadster.
The Tesla Roadster.
Yeah.
They were like 30 grand when they came out. They're not anymore, James.
Oh, the original one, you mean? Yes.
They're not anymore.
No, they won't be.
I hear that EV sales in the UK, all EV, so just sole EV cars, not hybrids, went from 630,000 at the end of 2022 to just under 1 million at the end of 2023. How are you now? Noah, my son, is obsessed with Carbolics, your book.
Oh, is he?
Obsessed with it.
I didn't know anybody had bought
it. Chapter and verse every evening. He gives me another story because it's all little stories, isn't it?
Yes.
And he says, we are now to electric cars where we were with combustion cars compared to horse and carts. It's just all part of the same story.
Yes. And I think, I've been driving electrically since 2014, and I've also toyed with the hydrogen thing. I've had to give that up because the infrastructure has fallen apart, unfortunately. So I'm about to get a new Tesla. I've sold my old Tesla S. I love electric driving, and I think it's always been obvious that cars should be powered by electric motors. That, you know, because
the buses weren't they?
Yes, exactly. And I mean, when they had overhead supply. I mean, it's easy. It's easy to operate. It's easy to maintain. It's quiet. It's clean. Blah blah blah. Obvious, but I still think, despite my enthusiasm for them, I think of electric cars as the hot air hand dryers of the car world. They're great, but you still wipe your hands on your trousers.
In the end.
Yeah. So they're not quite there yet, and I think we need another leap in battery technology. But
have you met Elon?
No.
Would you like to?
I would, actually, yes, because although I find him annoying in very many ways, I do approve of quite a lot of what he does.
You're a huge fan of space as well, then.
Yeah, I like space. I like what he's done with Twitter. I know it's not, and I know I'm not supposed to call it that anymore, but some of his basic principles, I think, are right. He's going to have great difficulty implementing them, and it might all fall over, but
Well, a lot of people say Tesla's still destined to become the biggest company in the world in the next 10 years.
Yes.
James, you've got to get to this morning with Alison and Dermot, because they're waiting for you. And if they're short on research notes, they just got to listen again to this last 45 minutes, because you'll get like 10 minutes there, won't you? And they'll give you some food. You'll be part of a cooking item.
Well, I better go then. You've probably heard my guts then making that noise.
Just the mention of food. James, great to see you, man.
Yes, and you.
All
lovely,
the best.
As ever. Thank
awesome.
You.
Awesome. James May, Our Man in India, out now on Prime Video, and he's heading off as I speak to this morning. If you fancy a bit more James May, that's where you need to be.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Graham Norton Radio Show.
How exciting is this?
With Waitrose.
Over on Virgin Radio.
Up and at 'em, come on, things to do. Don't cheer, you'll just embarrass yourselves. We're not bored of it yet, so it's lovely. There's no stopping 'em. No stopping 'em.
The Graham Norton Radio Show.
Oh, there's nothing nicer, is there? Nothing nicer.
With Waitrose. Food to feel good about.
I mean, what's not to like?
Saturday and Sunday from 9:30.
Over on Virgin Radio.
So, Alan Carr is sitting down and standing by, aren't you, Al?
Yes, I am.
Okay, however, before that, if you do forgive me for 1 second.
Yeah.
We have some breaking news, because Vassos Alexander, who you've met before, yeah, who's about to introduce you,
yeah,
about to give you the intro of your life. He features on The Weakest Link tomorrow as a contestant.
Oh, wow.
I do.
I know.
It's true.
It's Alan disbelieving, but it is true. No, by the way, join the club.
Yeah.
We have some audio of your performance on The Weakest Link ready to play now.
Do you?
Yes, and it's not a spoiler. It won't give anything away. It won't give away where you managed to get, how far in the show you managed to get to. Don't look like that.
Why are you looking like that? It's not like you said you're on Naked Attraction.
I wouldn't mind that, though.
So here we go. This will not spoil it for you, because you can get questions wrong and still win The Weakest Link.
Yes.
You can get all your questions wrong and, no, not all of them. That wouldn't work, would it?
That's the one we say bank.
Yeah, have you done it?
No.
Seems like you have. Doing the actions and everything.
Very trigger happy.
Right, okay, so here we go. This is some highlights of
oh, dear.
This is on tomorrow night, BBC One, 7:45. Actually, this is our Vassos. They've led him on The Weakest Link. All right, here we go.
Vassos.
Bank.
In audio drama, which Radio 2 presenter appeared in a 2023 storyline in The Archers as a judge on the Ambridge Eurovision variety show?
Zoe Ball.
The answer's Rylan. Vassos, In broadcasting, what is the first name of the DJ and presenter with the surname Kemp who took over the Capital Radio Breakfast Show in 2017?
Ross.
Roman. Bassos. In pop music, which British singer-songwriter had a UK number one single in 2023 with the independently released song Escapism?
Taylor Swift.
Ray. Bassos. In hip-hop, which group, whose members include Chuck D and Flavor Flav, had a 1989 UK Top 40 single titled Fight the Power?
I have no idea.
Public Enemy. Vassos. In pop music, Born to Die, Summertime Sadness and Video Games were all UK Top 10 singles for which New York-born singer?
Rihanna.
Lana Del Rey.
That's all we've got time for, everyone.
See, that's why I thought when it goes out, I'm going to get sacked. All the radio questions and all the music questions all fell to me, and with a couple of exceptions, I got them all wrong.
Was it the pressure, or are you just thick?
No, I didn't know any of those again.
So, Al, half an hour ago on this show, he says... Because somebody said to you, who said to you, I can't remember, somebody sitting here just now, and they said, but did you remember to have a good time? He said, no, I didn't even have a good time because I was so focused on getting the questions right, I forgot to have a good time. Why didn't you just have a good time?
Ramesh was very cross that I got the Public Enemy question wrong. How could you not know that?
Anyway. Please don't get the intro wrong to our next very special guest. You can watch what happened there. You can watch the drama unfold from the audio you just heard there. And it goes on and on, doesn't it?
Well, it did. It felt like it did.
All right, 7:45 tomorrow at BBC One. Who's not going to want to watch that? Right, over to you, Vess.
If our next guest joined the Cars on Cinch, he'd always be our top pick. High spec, low mileage-ish, 0-60 in less than a second. His new show, Amanda and Alan's Italian Job, returns for Series 2 tonight at 8:30 on BBC One. So please welcome one car you'll never want to upgrade. It's the spectacular Alan Carr.
Good morning, officially, Alan Carr.
Oh, hello, everyone.
Congratulations. What a lovely show.
I know, thank you.
Oh, my goodness. And you get to do a bit.
Yeah. No, we genuinely do work hard on. We do it because I know people get cynical about TV and they think I'm, you know, just for telly. But we are there all the time.
Right.
We
so the premise of the show. By the way, one of the most impressive parts of the show for me was the closing credits because they come up and the first thing you see is co-created and developed by Alan Carr and Amanda Holden.
Yes, well, we were doing that show called DNA Journey. Do you remember that? And we were sitting around. It was in the middle of COVID. We were so depressed. We're like, well, how can we get away and see the world once this awful thing's over? And then we read this article in the paper about you can buy a house for €1 in Italy, do it up. And that's genuine. That is genuine. So we bought the house for €1.
That's incredible.
Because, you know, all these young kids, they're going to Rome, they're going to Florence. They don't want to stay in these tiny little rural places. Yeah. And then, we turn up.
Because you have the main structure, which is solid as a rock. Been there for hundreds of years, some of these, and they're beautiful.
Yeah. The one this series, it's in Tuscany. Yeah. And it's like... It's like a medieval watchtower in this cute little valley. It's just amazing.
And do you get to pick them or does somebody else pick them for you?
They give us a selection and then I buy it on the internet. Then I turn up and I see it. And I mean, you can imagine the stage.
Do you and Amanda go 50 cents each on it? Do you go Harvey's?
No, she paid the euro last time and I paid the euro. Were you honest? Yeah, I'm fair, you know.
Your euro or mine,
yes.
Amanda.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I did last night. By accident, I'm watching it and I'm thinking, it's all in here. And I watched episode 8 by accident first.
Oh,
but no, it's great though, because I got to see all the...
Didn't we do well?
Yeah, and then I went back and I watched episode 1.
Ah, because it is binge-worthy, isn't it? You
it's
do
great,
watch it.
Man.
I know I never say that about anything
it's
I'm on.
It's so good.
But you just want to see what happens. And it was just...
So you pitch up and you have some pals. You get to meet the locals as well.
Yeah.
It's not skinny dipping, but... It's,
what?
Well, the opening sequence. You're jumping in the water, aren't you?
Yeah, but I mean,
yeah,
you've got to say that sex sells, and There's no, I don't get anything. But it was so hard work, you see. We jumped in the thing. Mind you, Amanda's always in a bikini, so it's no difference to
it's
her.
It's funny. You're a lovely combo as well.
We do generally get on, you see, and we spent New Year's Eve together and we spent
She's
a lot
all right, that Amanda Holden.
She is. I love her. We got the same sense of humour, the same cackle, you know, we laugh the same things. Because can you imagine doing it? Because we're there all summer, you know, and we never know what they're going to film, you know, because they film us at 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Do they film the whole thing?
Yeah, everything, you know.
How many cameras?
Well, there's in the car all the time, and then there's they never stop. It's
the car stuff is great.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't know. And then of course I watched the first one, and they've stitched me up. There's me going, I'm going to lose weight this summer. Cut to me sticking a cake in my mouth. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. I'm the only one not on a Zempic. I know that.
And when you go to the local hostelries. You know, local drinking holes.
Yeah.
You clearly do have a drink there.
I know.
That's not tea in those glasses, no, or Ribena, no. Is it?
I know. We get up and we were wine tasting at 10 a.m. in the morning. You know, it'd be like when you go on a long flight, isn't it? You know, it's acceptable to have a pint at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a snob, though. You know, when you're at the airport having your beer and you see someone with a wine, that's too much at 6 a.m., isn't it? I know we're all going on our holidays, but a pint's acceptable.
How long does it take to make...
Oh, it takes forever, yeah. It's about 3 months there, and then they've got to...
You fly back and forth?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, back and forth.
And what have you learned to do? What have you genuinely picked up? What can you now do that you couldn't?
I'm rubbish at everything, but you know what I am quite good at? With the glue gun.
Yeah.
I'm good at sticking. If you've got anything round the studio that needs gluing...
You should have brought it in. Yeah. By the way, we really do.
Well, that thing's quite loose.
No, do you want me to have a look at it?
And under Chris's desk as well, if you wouldn't mind.
It's missing. The bit's missing. By the way, kids love glue guns. There's something quite toy-like about a glue gun, isn't there?
No, I mean, come on, I'm professional. I mean, I've got my own holster and everything. Yeah. No, but I was good at glue gun. And then what's the long thing with the bubble in it?
The spirit level.
Yes, that's good. I'm good at that, putting that up.
You're not so good at the sander.
Oh, no, that is boring. No, that but you're so boring.
You're holding it too firmly, but you think you should. Because they're
with my wrists.
They're like a wild animal, aren't they?
It's like holding a cat, isn't it? Like a feral, like one of those cats you get in Greece. Yeah.
The thing about a sander, an electric sander, is if you don't hold it firmly enough, it sort of holds you. Right? But if you hold
it... You see, Chris,
this is
like when the people tell me on the show.
Sorry.
And you know what I mean? Because I'm not interested in it. And then all I hear is, la, 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 la. You know what I mean? But I get they teach me all the thing. But yeah, I get it. Will you say I'm too firm?
No, because I've got the same... I'm the same with you.
Do you like DIY?
I do like it. And I think I'm all right at it. As a kid, I used to have my own toolbox, my own... hacksaws and
very similar childhoods.
Very similar childhood. I bet you had the miniature kitchen and the
and the girls' world and the fashion wheel.
Yeah, because my Eli, he wanted a vacuum cleaner from the age of two, and he now has a collection. You know what I mean? No, but the whole thing with it, there is a sweet spot with a sander, and it's really weird because honestly, if you don't hold it firm enough, it sort of freaks you out. But if you hold it too firm, it doesn't do its job. And there's this bit in the middle where you've got to sort of, I don't know.
The sweet spot.
Yeah.
A biting point.
If you like. That conjures up different things for me for some reason. Why is that?
No, I know what you say. But listen, for me...
The biting point.
It's true, isn't it? That nice sweet spot.
In a clutch.
This is really sanding.
Yeah. There are the biting points. As well. Yeah.
That's good. Thank you.
What? How wrong did things go?
Oh, okay. Well, listen.
Yes.
Me and Amanda are very much, you know, we're very much in sync. But she, her taste is quite tacky.
Okay.
She will, you know, this is like a medieval watchtower. It looks like, you know, Elton John's spare bedroom. You know, it's got chandeliers. She wants chandeliers, murals.
Yes.
Everything's pink.
I love the murals, by the way. The murals are cool.
Yes. Yeah. But And then she wanted the gold floor. She wanted gold floor, and it's called Scree. And she said that she had to come back to England. And will you do it for me? So I put the gold Scree on like this. I was so proud of it. It looked great. And I left it to set for 30 minutes. And I went out and I left the window open, didn't I?
Oh, no.
And I come back. All these flies had got in.
Stuck on the Scree?
Yeah, stuck on the Scree. It was like a gnat graveyard. And then you could see them like trying to swim across the gold.
Oh,
like,
poor
help
nut.
Me, help me. You know, it's like Jurassic Park, you know, when they found the amber.
Yeah. Nobody's winning. It's a lose-lose situation.
I know. It looked like a Garibaldi biscuit, you know, like with those biscuits.
Dead fly biscuit.
And I came in, it's all on camera. I was like, oh no. Because she said to me, Alan, please don't mess it up because I want it to look fabulous. And then, you know, it's disgusting.
So what happens to the houses now?
We sell it off to children in need.
What?
Yeah, so the last one raised whatever the man sold for. But he bought it without even coming to see it. He just loved the show so much.
One will go up in September or November?
When it's all out there. If you want, you can bid for it, you can buy it. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. And do you know what I love about it?
Come on.
It's not the Tuscany you feel, is it? I bet you think you know the tall cypress trees or whatever they're called.
100%.
It's completely different.
Tell us how.
We're just the whole scenery and everything. Sometimes it reminded me a bit of Yorkshire, then Switzerland, then like Amazon. It was so overgrown in places. It's a magical place.
So where do you think you might go next?
Well, we're looking for another Euro scheme because it's been recommissioned. So we don't know. I mean, Spain does one, Portugal. I'm done with Italy, I think. I think we've done enough. We can do that. Let's go somewhere else.
I'm your man for Portugal. I got married in Portugal.
Is it nice?
Oh, it's amazing. The Portuguese people, they are Ooh. Lovely and they love the Brits.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Because you never think of going to, like, I performed in Lisbon on my tour and I thought, why haven't I been here before?
How'd you go down in Lisbon?
It was great. Yeah, lovely. A tiny, tiny, tiny theatre.
Is it Brits mostly or Portuguese fans as well?
Half and half, really.
Nice.
You have to, like, change your material as you're doing it, but that's half the excitement.
Is this regional trinket?
Yeah. Because my agent rang up and went, Alan, you've sold out LA. I was like, oh, that's amazing. It was 100-seater. I mean, I've seen Portaloos that are bigger.
You don't need the T's and C's. He's right. You sold out LA.
Sold out. It's on the poster. Boom.
Where did you play in Los Angeles?
The Dynasty Typewriter.
The Dynasty Typewriter?
Yeah. Apparently, it's quite an iconic building. And you know Adele turned up. Did you see that in the papers?
I didn't see it in the papers.
Well, if you... my new show, Regional Trinkets, out on Sky. You can watch it out. And it's about... it's about... Everything that's happened in my last year, and everyone knows that Adele married me and my partner's now my ex. So I'm talking about the marriage. And then, of course, Adele's comes along. I'm coming to see her. So as I'm doing the material, she's going, that's true. That's true. That's a lie. It's like, you know, when you watch...
What, out loud?
Yes.
So you can hear her?
Yeah. It's like, you know, when you watch... You know, when you're watching a film and, like, you've got director's commentary on. That's not true. That's true.
So that's not heckling. What is that?
I don't know.
That's a new kind of heckling.
Yes, it's like, you know, you get the signers at the side of the stage.
Yes.
It's a bit like the alternative to that.
Adele, give it a rest. Yeah? Keep it for your own show. You should go to her show in Las Vegas and shout the same thing.
Yeah. I've heard this one.
Yeah. It's about someone else. Yeah. She wants you to think it's about her, but it's not.
Never mind. She'll find someone else just like you. Here she will. She's rolling in the deep.
Did you hang out with her?
Yeah.
You're proper mates, aren't
you? Yeah, it's like, and I haven't seen her in ages, and of course we text and do all the other thing, but nice just to see her, and we were just cackling away.
So I think Portugal, please.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Portugal's beautiful.
We'll see. It's just finding that perfect house for a Euro.
Can I just say, Portugal is also so different to Spain and to Italy and to France. It's because of the mountains.
Yeah.
So it's separate from the mountains. That's why nobody's really invaded it successfully, because they can't bother to climb over the mountains. And because of the mountains, it's a whole different culture. And because it's not on the Med, it's on the Med and the Atlantic. It's entirely... You love it.
Are you being paid by the Portuguese tourist board?
No, but
board?
I love
Be honest
I've got
me.
A place there. I love Portugal.
Oh, okay.
I am a big, big fan.
Because when I was surprised, you know, everyone goes, oh, when the Portuguese went over to South America, but they've clearly brought something back as well, those massive boulevards. It just feels exotic,
it's cool,
doesn't
man.
It? And the people...
Yeah.
The people have got great genes.
And the vegetation is different to the rest of Europe because of the Atlantic and because of the moisture in the air. And it's very, very Californian. You can actually, all the bougainvillea and the palm trees, you can click. If you didn't know where you were, you could either be in Beverly Hills or you could be sort of in the Algarve.
Oh, well, I'm going to go there now. Yeah, I'm going to tell Amanda.
And there's loads of places that people don't want and have footprints and half a wall here, which means you can have a building and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
it's good, man. So have you, clearly you've been to, not clearly, I presume you've been to Amanda's house.
Yes, here. Yes.
Okay, so how much of her taste has she tried to infiltrate your creation within Italy?
Well, she has. I love her style. She loves it very flamboyant, you know, big bold prints.
Yeah.
Loves the flamingo, loves the pineapple.
Open spaces.
Like that walls, dramatic drama. Open massive plan, staircase.
Big ceilings.
Yeah, like that. Big
double,
ceiling.
Double height ceilings sometimes.
Double height ceilings, yeah, because you just got a new house. You're double height ceilings and, yeah, bold prints and like that. But you see, my argument is when we're in the middle of, like, Tuscany,
yes,
let's go a bit rustic.
Of course.
Let's go, but she's like, da-da, like Elton John, boom, you know. Joan Collins, boom.
Yeah.
No, you know, if just stick a tassel on it. Do you know what I mean? Angel, flamingo.
I saw her garden shed that she...
I bet that's even fabulous.
She hashtagged not gifted. So she clearly paid for it, but it was some kind of shed, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it had like a barn and a kid. Have you seen... Have you been... Is that a...
I've never been in a shed. She won't... I don't know what... Why won't she let me in her shed?
Unless that was... How recently did she move?
Recently, yeah. Before Christmas.
Oh, well, no, this was maybe a year or two ago. So maybe it was at the old house.
Well, when you go round to see Amanda Olden, you don't go in a shed.
No, but it's not...
She's got a shed.
No, it's like it was mega.
Oh,
it's
not
mega.
Like my kind of shed. Yeah, it's like an unused
garden
hoe.
I don't know what they call it. It's basically a house without planning permission. That's what it is, isn't it? No, it is, because you can do all... It's called...
I'm not getting involved in this.
It's called permitted... What's it called?
Permitted development.
As long as it's ancillary to the house and it isn't taller than 4 metres at the highest point.
Yeah, we went through
you can
all
do
of that
all this stuff.
Us, yeah.
Can you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
How are the planning laws in Italy? Can you do what you want?
Yeah.
I sense you can do what you want. I think
you
a bit...
can really, because they're so desperate to go for you to be there.
I
mean, it's
bit...
generally a euro, because you know you get taxi driver. Here's a tenner, get me tenner. You're like, well, no. there is some rules there, but it is essentially right. I mean, you have to stay there
for a tenner. You can get 11 because the current exchange rate is 1.16.
Yeah, yes.
Of course it is. I just feel it's a bit bunga-bunga. The old planning laws.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
They just want people there, fresh blood. I mean, who's ever looked at me and thought fresh blood?
Yeah, yeah.
But everyone's like over 90 there.
How are
I
you
mean,
with...
I'm the village looker.
Are you?
That, you know what I mean? People look at me like, four, who's that?
Yes. It's new like, bit of hot stuff in town.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's a Diet Coke break. There I am. Just been laying
full
some
fat,
gram.
Full fat Coke break.
Family pack.
How are you with the sun?
I'm all right, but you know what?
Yes.
My bald spot is getting bigger, and so sometimes I forget to, you know, put some cream on it so it does look like that buzzer in, you know, Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah,
just
there,
bright red, bulging up.
You seem to be at ease with your...
Yeah, I mean, someone said to me, why don't you go and get...
go and see the man in Ireland.
Yeah, but... Yes!
Morris.
They told me to go, yeah.
Go and see Morris.
I think that if I suddenly had massive load of it, I think people would know... That ship sailed, didn't it? Can you see me with a fringe?
I don't mind. Either way, it doesn't matter. It's up to you, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think you look good with it. I don't think people are mine. People love you. They just love you as you are, however you are.
Yeah.
They love you yesterday, today, and they will love you tomorrow.
With hair or with a receded hairline?
With whatever you like. Yeah, with as little or as much as you like, of everything.
Yeah.
I love the title.
Because I do get all that all the time. Alan, because when I go and see my dentist, he says, right, Alan, what we're going to do about these teeth.
Well, that's why I'm here. You are a dentist.
I know, but he wants them all ripped out and like the massive ones.
Right.
No.
Have you had a bit of straightening?
No.
No. I had them straightened and they went all wonky again.
Have you? I hope I've kept the receipt.
No, because mine are straight and still wonky. They're just much straighter than they were.
Yeah. You see, mine look like they're having a party.
Yeah, they're cool.
I bet they're a bit yellow today, aren't they?
No, they're fine. Mine are yellow. I brush my teeth all the time and they remain yellow.
Do you know what?
What?
Are you going to see the hygienist yet?
Yeah.
And do you know when they go, you go, oh, I clean them all the time. And then he like pulls out like a broccoli floret or a bit of carrot.
No need for that.
And you're like, where's that been?
Yeah.
It's all like the carrot hides at the back.
I would have eaten that weeks ago. I don't know. Did you enjoy the show?
I really loved it. I watched it with our 9-year-old Mary, and we watched episode one.
Good.
And then we watched episode two.
Aww.
And then she said, can we watch episode three? And I said, no, because we haven't got time to watch all eight. So we then watched episode eight.
Yeah.
And I very much
watched episode eight as well.
Yeah, I watched one, two and eight.
I love eight. Don't start at eight. Don't leave it at eight,
no,
everyone.
No.
Actually, you can't watch eight. They can't watch eight because it's...
We've got a lot.
We were given all of them.
Yeah, we drip feed it a bit. But you can binge watch it. But I mean, and I'm never one of those people that bigs themselves up. But it is, you want to see what's happened to the house.
I love what you did with the kitchen.
Thank you.
I love what you did with your kitchen.
Or a thumb. But it is it's a lovely show, and it's, I like, you know, upcycling and recycling and all that, you know, because we can't just but you know, the marble over there.
Oh, let's talk about the marble.
The marble's
your
amazing.
Your trip to the quarry.
I know, it's like a James Bond lair.
Yeah, and the corniche that you had traversed to get up there.
Corniche.
Yeah, so the corniche.
Swallowed a dictionary.
The corniche is a road in the mountain.
Yeah.
That's what a corniche is.
Oh.
And so you had your corniche that you had to traverse, which was quite a hairy ride, wasn't it?
I've
done those corniches. They are scary, man.
Yeah, yeah. But the blocks of marble that come out, and this is the same place that Michelangelo went up when he carved David and stuff. But you know, there's no more of that pure white marble. It's all got grain in it now. I mean, it might sound boring, but I'm fascinated by that we're getting marble from the same place, the Duomo in Rome.
Yeah.
And what's it called? Marble Arch.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same place. That place is the same where we did our kitchen.
Yeah. No, that was a proper bit of telly, wasn't it? I mean,
did well finding that. We went up there and it's just amazing.
It is amazing.
But no more of that white. You'll never get that pure white that Michelangelo got.
What do you bring back from a series like that, apart from memories and experience and knowledge and laughter and fun and joy for the rest of us to now witness? You know, also great, isn't it? In the middle of, you know, January.
I know.
It's wet, it's windy.
I know.
You can't get there right now. Most of us can't get there right now, but through our telly we can, and that's when telly lights up your life.
Yes, yeah.
That's the telly. That's the telly you've always been involved
in. Yeah, it's
in,
like, do you remember in the good old days you'd watch Wish You Were Here?
Yes.
And Judith Chalmers. Today we're in Tenerife. You're like, oh, I wish I was in Tenerife. Yeah. That's what it's the Judith Chalmers effect.
Because there's that phrase, wasn't there? You know, if somebody said, are they blue? Does the Pope wear a funny hat? Does Judith Chalmers have a passport? I think she might.
I've never heard.
Do you remember that? Do you remember that? What do you mean, does so and so? Does Judith Chalmers have a passport? I think she does.
I've got. Oh, do you want to know something? Yeah, do you know what Amanda calls this part of her body? She calls it Judith.
Why? don't tell her why. No. I don't want to know why. You do know why.
No, but that's what she just go when she. Yeah.
This is her Judith.
Yeah, she's bringing out me Judith.
Okay. Right. What else is going on, Alan Carr? Come on.
My sitcom Changing Ends. I'm writing that at the minute. Right. My sitcom based on my life. It's on ITV later this year.
First time?
It was on ITVX last year.
Yeah.
And I'm going to big myself up because I'm really proud of it. It was the most watched sitcom on ITVX. So they're moving it to ITV.
Wow.
And then it's been recommissioned.
How did you write a sitcom?
And it was all based on my life, you see.
I know where the content comes from, but how do you actually physically write a scene here, scene there, interior here, exterior there, cut to night? What's all that about?
You just have to have some really good script editors. And it's Baby Cow, you know, who
do
Alan
that,
Partridge, Royal Family. So I'm in really good hands.
Do you have that laptop pack, which is called...
Final Draft.
Final Draft.
Yeah.
Can you do all that?
Well, yeah, but that's what it is. It's dead easy. It's not like in the olden days where that paperclip would go, are you writing a letter?
But Final Draft sorts it all out. Because it compartmentalises it for you and changes
the... Yeah, but don't write the jokes.
No,
it just
not,
puts them in things.
I'm not saying you're not doing the heavy lifting.
How
I'm just saying
you.
It's the format can be quite finicky, can't it?
Yeah.
But this sorts it all.
Yeah, yeah. So it's good. So I'm writing that at the minute.
Where do you write? How do you write? Where do you write?
Do you know what?
What
you know, we're talking about
it?
A shed. You know, we're talking about a shed.
Yeah.
I've got a little shed at my garden with a desk in. I put in there and all that, all the Wi-Fi. I never go in there. It's a bit like when I write my stand-up. The jokes come to you when you're in the supermarket, when you're at the dentist. It never, when you're sitting there at the desk, it never comes. You're like, ugh. And then it's weird. It comes at the weirdest time. And it's a bit like that when you're writing. It's a bit like, people might not be interested, but it's a bit like when you do a crossword. You know, when you look down and you go, what's five across? And then you go out, and then you come back, and then it's there.
And that is a true thing.
Yes.
That's a fact.
Your brain is working on stuff even when you're not. So I know I look like a bit distant, but I'm working on stuff as
we speak. When you say when a joke comes to you, give us an example of that. Give us an example of seeing you, Alan Carr, seeing something and turning it into a joke. How do you do that?
Well,
when you say you're in a supermarket and a joke comes to you.
Yeah, yeah, you just come out. Yeah, just.
So, for example.
Because I'm an observational comic. I think of that and I write it down. But I mean, I don't know. I'm not a performing monkey.
Sorry, I apologise.
No, but it just will come to you.
Right.
Sorry. I mean, I'm trying to think, but then it's inspiration.
Yeah,
isn't it?
I get what you mean.
Where's that come from?
Cool, man. Mm. So the sitcom's going on. This is you're rocking and running with this. 30. So you're going to film the new series of this summer? Is
that, yeah. We'll go over there.
Wherever
and
that may be.
Yeah, wherever. Is it Portugal?
Please, Portugal.
Yeah, and I have such a lovely time in Lisbon. I hope it is Portugal. But like, you've just got to find the right house. It's got to... You know, because some of the houses they give you, they don't need any work done. It's a bit like, you know...
Yeah, where's the story, man?
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, that. Was it 1 hour makeover, 24 minute? What's the makeover one? You know what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
But he's got to have enough oomph to go. But can I just tell you about this one?
Yeah, go on.
The Italian job. The thing that makes it different, I don't know if you saw the last one, it was squatters in there. There was, you know, mystery.
I didn't see the last one.
Okay. Well, that was the whole place was wrecked. Squatters had lived in there for years, ruined it.
Right.
This one, we get there. Well, as you know, it was like the Marie Celeste in there. There's a cup there. There's an egg cup.
Yeah.
The woman's just gone. So there's suitcases of all her stuff. There's photos there. So there was that emotional pull there. We couldn't just rip it all out. We knew that there was someone here.
Respect is due.
Yes. And everyone loved her in the village.
Oh, careful.
So they're going past, and then there's me. Hello, how you doing? They're like, what is this? Who is this? Who is this man?
Which country is he from? He sees you with an English lady.
Yeah, he's with an English lady in a bikini.
And sure, giving it all the Judith.
Who is this Judith she talks of? And so we had to be respectful because they were passing it all the time, looking up. And we don't want to go to a community and, you know, get on everyone's nerves and ruin it for them.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's good, man.
But no, it's nice. It was nice.
Well, also, I've seen the inside of your house. I don't know why. I've seen it on camera because you have great taste. Your house is beautiful. It's really bright, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
How come I've seen that? Was it a Zoom thing?
I do my podcast called Life's a Beach and we film it in my house. I have this little snug down where I sit there and read my book, you know, when you watch the telly or blah, blah, blah.
It does look very comfy and classy and cool and fun.
Yes, it is fun.
Yes, it's all those things.
My snug's a lot of fun.
You're the man for the job.
And then I do this podcast and it is the perfect acoustic, so we don't have to pay for a studio. Honestly, I've really hit on lucky. So I do a travel podcast and we had people like Tom Jones turn up and Jack Whitehall and David Wan just all come round and we just have a chat in this booth, but it's perfect.
Yeah, yeah, because of all the soft furnishings.
Yeah,
and the dampening
yes.
of the sound.
And all the classy objet d'art.
Have you been to Ryland's house?
I skinny dipped at Ryland's house.
Have you really?
Yes.
That's more information than I asked, but I'm afraid...
It was in the paper. He filmed me. And do you know what? There was a strategically placed shadow.
Thank God.
Yes. Thank God.
But a rather large one, I have to say. It may well have been an elephant or a giraffe. Or a combination of the two.
He said... We're in a traffic jam on the way to his house.
Yes.
And I said, oh, can you pull over? And I went to M&S, you know, those cans of vodka. And they're only small, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
They are lethal, aren't they? Have you ever had one on a train? Yeah, we'll have a couple for the journey and you wake up in Land's End covered in
Who's
sick.
Who's mixing those?
I know. Very heavy-handed with the old...
Mix and Spencer.
So, so I turned up there. I was a few... was it Sheets to the Wind?
Yes.
And then I got onto the tequila. Mm. Now, when I open the tequila, my clothes come off.
It's just simple as that.
It is something like that.
It's
my
crazy,
Judith's
isn't it?
Come out. My Judith's come out.
And that's not on the label or anything.
No, may bring on nudity. Please strip responsibly.
Yeah, 100% proof. 100% strip.
Yeah. Honestly, it's like my clothes are made of Velcro. like that. And then I just took all my clothes off and I jumped in his swimming pool.
Wow.
And he filmed it.
All I wanted to say was, I thought his interiors were quite similar to yours.
Oh, no, wasn't it? I thought this was the story. No, I've said too much.
That was the only place I was going with it. I was going...
Back up.
I'm literally going to say, you have similar interior design taste to Ryland. We got the full-on skinny dipping story.
Naked
See,
tequila.
When you don't ask for it, you get it.
I'm so... Oh, no. That was a dream.
I wasn't going there.
No, but he's naughty because he filmed it. And then, you know, when you wake up in the morning and go, oh, what happened last night?
Did I do that?
All the texts on, someone had a good time last night, and no one wants to get that text, do they? So I had a look, and then this is how drunk I was. Mm. I was doing, you know, that Patti LaBelle one, is it Michael McDonald? On my own.
Oh, yes.
One sec. I was doing the mail.
You did both parts.
And yes.
Wow.
On my own. Once again. I mean, how drunk are you to do a duet by yourself?
What are you running away from, Alan?
But no, he is the perfect host, Ryland. I love him. And so generous with his tequila.
Great.
And his camera.
Alan, you're so generous with your chat, mate. You are so... You're a great chat show host, but you're a great chat show
guest.
Oh,
you are sweet. Thank you.
Right, Amanda and Alan's Italian Job Series 2 begins tonight at 8:30 on BBC One. Check out the house you can buy for whatever you can afford for children need. It cost the guys to do with the show €1, but it's worth much more than that now. What do you think? Ballpark.
It's gorgeous.
What did the last one go for?
Around £130,000.
See, that's a lot of money, but it sounds like good value.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the one in Salemi was beautiful. This one, if you love hiking and you love getting back to nature, put in an offer because it is stunning.
Alan, have a great day, man.
Thank you so much. I'm off to have a tequila. These clothes are getting itchy.
All right, get your cameras out, everyone. Amanda and Alan's Italian Job Series 2 begins tonight. 8:30, BBC One. It's all the fun.
Love music? Love interviews with lovely musicians? Search Virgin Radio UK on YouTube to find brilliant album specials with some of the shiniest lights on our playlist, including George Ezra.
It won't be like this forever, so just enjoy it while it's here. It's a really wonderful thing.
And James Bay.
It's about me. It's about my relationship with Lucy. It sums up so much of what went into writing this whole album. We're all works in progress. I still don't necessarily know who I am.
And Depeche Mode's Dave Gahan remembering the late, great Andy Fletcher.
I'll be honest with you, the first thought that came in my head was, I wish I'd been a bit kinder.
Watch all that and more at youtube.com/Virgin Radio UK.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.